Please turn to Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We must always remember that the grace of God is the ground of our salvation. Because the Lord extended his grace toward us, he loved us, he put us in his eternal plan, he sent his son to die for us on the cross, he sent the gospel message to us, he sent the Spirit of God to convict us, he saved us when we called upon him, and his grace continues to sustain us day by day and moment by moment. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. The grace of God works in our lives to help us accomplish his will in the world. Paul gives us some insights into the way that the grace of God works in our lives. First of all, the grace of God empowers us. Paul tells us that the Lord is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This phrase simply reiterates what I've already said, that God empowers his people to live for him. Before the day of Pentecost, when the Lord made this promise to his disciples in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That word power in that verse is the word in Ephesians 3:20. It's the same word, the dunamis. It refers to an inherent power, the power that resides in a thing because of its nature. When the Lord moved into your life, he came in with power. He came into you to live in you. He came into you to enable you to live for him, to love for him. The Lord enabled Paul to preach for his glory. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power, in the dunamis, in the dynamite of God. The grace of God enables us because Christ lives within us. The Lord enabled Paul to live for the Lord day by day. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 to 10, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love and fame, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. The Lord enables us to live for him day by day, to speak for him, for his glory, to preach for him, for his glory. It's God that does the enabling. The Lord wants you to know that his grace is sufficient for you. It's not only sufficient for Paul, it's sufficient for us. Paul's no different than us. We do the same thing that Paul does. He was an ambassador, a minister of reconciliation. He preached the word. He spoke the word to people. We do the same thing. We're of the royal priesthood of God. We're priests down to our Lord, doing the same thing. The God enables us to preach for his glory, to speak for his glory, to live for his glory day by day. Grace enables us. Grace enlivens us. Paul says, according to the power that works in us, the power to live for the Lord comes from him. But yet it comes from within. How is that possible? It is possible only because he lives in us. When he saved us, the Spirit of God comes into us with power for God's glory. He empowers us by enlivening us. He empowers us by imparting life to us. He lives within us. He empowers us. He enlivens us. Paul says it this way, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Brother and sister, get this into your head. Christ lives in you. Stop living like a pauper. Spiritually speaking, stop living that way. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords lives in you. Your identity is found in Christ now, not in the old man or the old woman that you were. But now Christ lives in you, in the life which I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And when we yield, that's found in Galatians 2:20. And when we yield to him and allow his life to flow from us, we will live lives that are pleasing to the Lord and empowered by him. And God will use us to glorify himself in the world. He enlivens us. He empowers us. The Lord tells us in John 14:12-14, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Christ lives in us, brothers and sisters. And as we live for him, as we allow him to live through us, he fills us with his life. And he is seen and he is glorified. And he uses us as his light in the world. Paul says that his power worketh in us. That word worketh means to be at work, to put forth power, to be operative. When we yield it to him, he's operative in our lives. And this enlivens us and allows us to bear fruit for his glory. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much, much, much fruit, brothers and sisters. For without me, you can do nothing. His grace empowers us for service. His grace enlivens us for living. And we're to praise him for his grace. And Paul, in verse 21, ends this beautiful doxology by making a grand statement about the glory of God. And notice what he says about God and his glory. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church. To him be glory in the church. This phrase reminds us that the church exists not for you to receive glory. The church exists for the sole purpose of bringing glory to God. He's glorified in the church because the church is made of sinners who have been saved by his grace. He loved us when we deserved hell. He reached out to us in love and grace and raised us from the dead and drew us to himself. He saved us. He saved us, brothers and sisters, and he changed our lives. And as we live for him and honor his word, he receives glory from the church. And as we love him and love one another, he's glorified. As we preach the gospel and gather for worship, he's glorified. As we sing and pray and work and serve throughout the church, he is glorified. The church, brothers and sisters, is an organism that exists to bring glory to his name. And when we function as we should, that is exactly what we do. We must keep this truth in mind as we go about, quote unquote, the business of doing church. Everything we do at church should be done with a view to bring glory to the Lord. Every decision made, every dollar spent, every mission, every supported, every job assigned should all be for the glory of God and for no other reason. Every person who serves in any capacity should perform his or her job to the best of their ability for the glory of God. And everyone, every brother and sister in Christ should serve. Why is that? Because you're in the royal priesthood. And that's what priests do. They serve in some way, shape, or form. We must work for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat, you drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do. Nowhere is God more glorified than the person of his Son, though. Christ Jesus. Jesus always has been and ever will be his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. Since God is glorified in the Son, we should be in the business of making much of him. Not much of ourselves, much of our church, much of our denominations. And far too often, that's what we find ourselves doing. We should be in the business of making much of him, much of Christ. You need to examine your music, your preaching, your service, your motives, and be sure everything that you're doing is serving to magnify the name of the one who brings ultimate glory to God Almighty, to Christ. Why are you doing what you do? If we'll talk about Jesus, preach about Jesus, sing about Jesus, praise the name about Jesus, and be in love with Jesus, God will be glorified by our lives. If we can bring that attitude with us day by day as we go out in this world, God will be glorified. And notice the permanence of his glory. Notice, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. Notice, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. This glory that God receives through the church and through his Son, Jesus Christ, is not a fleeting glory. The glory of this world comes and goes, but the glory of God never, never, ever ends. Paul says that it will last throughout all the ages, world without end. That phrase literally means unto all the generations of the ages of the ages. God will be receiving glory from his church because of his Son when the end of time comes and eternity flows into eternity. God will receive glory forever and ever. One day, the Lord Jesus will come for his church. And you, if you're an unbeliever listening to this message right now, take heed. Take heed. Come to Christ today, even now as I speak. One day the Lord Jesus Christ will come for his church. He will take his bride home to heaven to live in the Father's house forever. And as the ageless, as the endless ages of eternity unfold, the church is in heaven. We'll be continuing to bring glory to God, to Christ, as we worship him and exalt in his glory forever. You need to look no further than Revelation 4 and 5, and we see the amazing future of the church that's given to us. We get a glimpse of the throne of Jesus Christ. I would pray today that if you know not Christ, that you would come to Christ today. For he is worthy of praise, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray that we would grasp all that he is and all that he has done for us. We will never grasp the fullness of his glory and his grace in this life. One day, however, our bodies and our minds will be glorified. And when that happens, we will understand and we will know him even as we are known. Then we will glorify him throughout the ages for his grace in our lives. Even though we can't grasp it all right now, it still doesn't hurt to glorify him concerning him, what we do know. So give him glory in the church, because that is the business of heaven. We'll be giving him glory for all eternity. Don't you think it's high time we started to do it now? That is our future. And that should also be our presence. We need to be in the business of bringing glory to God. Enough of this bringing glory to men in the church, bringing glory to the celebrity hounds of the church. Enough of the sin. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to repent of their own search for glory. That's why we have so many celebrity speakers and preachers and teachers, because we want glory. And we live for our glory through these celebrities. There's no great ones in the kingdom. It's only Christ. He's the great one. Far too many pursuing glory here in this world. We're to bring him glory for all generations, forever and ever. We need to glorify him for the gracious work he's doing in our lives. We need to be about the business of glorifying God. We need to walk faithfully day by day and bring glory to God. We need to be obeying the law of Christ. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. But to bring glory to Christ by obedience to what he has commanded us to do. But to be faithful and to bring God glory. Enough of the nonsense, enough of the foolishness. Let us be about our Father's business. This world is one day closer to coming to an end. One day closer, brothers and sisters. Your life will be over shortly. Our lives are at best but a vapor. Shall we not spend the rest of our days bringing glory to the Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ? Is that not Christ even in me being used to speak even now? Exhorting one another, admonishing one another, lifting up one another, praying for one another, speaking to one another. That's what the church does. To bring glory to Christ. Let us be about our Father's business today and bring him glory throughout the ages. Amen.